Bible to the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 35 through 45. This morning I'm going to share a message with you entitled Unexpected Interruptions. Mark chapter 1, 35 through 45. And we are still in our series of messages called Life is Short. Let's simplify it. Now again, the gist or the thesis of this message is that because life is short, it is imperative that we try to eliminate, reduce, or decrease the sources of stress or distress or tension in our life. And so here, as we continue this series, we are made aware that because life is short already, we certainly want to lessen those things that would shorten it even more, such as stress and distress in life. And I believe one of those tension-producing or stress-producing factors is unexpected interruption. Have you ever been interrupted in life? Perhaps you've been so busy and you're busy doing something and you're trying to finish one thing and then your life got interrupted by unexpected event or people or other things. Now, how did you react? Were you annoyed by the interruption? Were you irritated by the interruption? Did your blood pressure go up? Now, last year, I went back to school, as you all know, and so being out of school for the last 13 years, I was rusty. I was slow in my studying and research and writing. And so last year, there was a homework. It was a book review. And the book review was just for a good 5 pages. But because I was rusty and not into intense studying and reading and researching and all those, so on the day that the book review was due, I felt like I was writing a dissertation paper because I was having a hard time putting it together. And so because I was racing for time, I was all stressed out and tensed up. And guess what? While I was in the middle of writing it, the doorbell rang. It was our mower. And our mower asked me, should I mow today? And in the back of my head, you always mow every other 2 weeks. Why do you even have to ask me now? And then within moments, then the doorbell rang again. It was the UPS guy delivering a package. And while I was doing it, then I got a text message from someone and said, please call me, Pastor, it's urgent. And I was doing that. Andy walked into the room, and Andy said, Daddy, take a break. Let's play. Those are unexpected interruptions. And at this point, I'm not going to tell you how I reacted because I might lose my calling in ministry if I do that. But interruptions do come, don't they? We're so busy in life. We have chores that we need to do. We have the schedules that we need to attend. We have deadlines that we have to finish. And here we are in life. We're already struggling to keep up. And then suddenly, unexpected interruptions do come. Like, again, people, event, extra work, illness, phone calls, text messages. And I can share this with you. I don't know about you, but perhaps you do the same. But when I am very busy and I get interrupted, that's when my volcano erupts. That's when my EF5 tornado touches down in my life. That's when World War III begins in my life. And yet to Jesus, he had all those unexpected interruptions, but you would never see him ever get stressed out or bothered by them. Now, how did he do that? How could you not be stressed out and be tensed up when you are interrupted unexpectedly? Well, let's find out as we turn again to Mark 1, 35 through 45. And in honor of the reading of the Word of God, let's all stand up once again. And here we're going to learn ways how we can handle unexpected interruptions. Mark 1, 35 through 45. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for you for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still come to him from everywhere. You may be seated. Now, as we always do, let's look at the context of what we read. Now, the book of Mark was written by Mark. Mark was not one of the apostles. Mark was a disciple of the apostle Peter. So perhaps he learned many of his gospel accounts from the apostle Peter, because they were together majority of the time. Now here in the book of Mark, the beginning of it, you will see that Jesus began his public ministry that lasted for about 3.5 years. He began his public ministry after his baptism, when John the Baptist baptized him. So now after he was baptized, he began his 3.5 years of preaching and teaching and healing and casting out demons. So now at the same time, he also started calling out his apostles or his 12 disciples. So now in doing so, he spent one day praying. You'll see that there in verses 35 and following. So now, because he had 3.5 years to complete the Father had given him, you would think that every minute counted for him. That means you would think that means any interruption that would slow him down would aggravate him. But notice here in the passage that we read, Jesus was very busy, and yet he was frequently interrupted. Look at verses 35 to 38. It says there that Jesus was in a solitary place when who came? Verse 37, the apostles came. And when they found him, they exclaimed. I love that word in the original language. It literally means they yelled at him. Imagine that. They yelled at him and said, "Everyone is looking for you." Now, Jesus could not even have a me time for himself. He was praying, and yet the disciples or the apostles interrupted him. There in verses 39 and 40, notice while he was busy preaching and casting out demons or doing exorcising, if you want it that way, a leper came to him, begging him to heal him, as if he was the only one needing healing. And yet also in verse 45, while he was in a lonely place, now doesn't mean that Jesus decided to wallow in self-pity and succumb to depression, no. It literally means that lonely place literally means uninhabited place or an unpopulated place or a deserted place. So he went there. Why? So he could have a time for himself just to get away and get some rest. But look at what people did. Verse 45, people still came to him from everywhere. But in all those incidents that he had this unexpected interruptions, did his volcano erupt? Did his blood pressure go up? Did his tornado touch down in his life? Absolutely not. He was not. He was in complete control. Now, how did he do that? How could he handle interruptions without losing his composure, his calmness? And in my observation, as I was studying the passage, I have observed three ways that he handled unexpected interruptions, and I'm going to share them with you. And here we can handle our interruptions if we would also observe these things. The first one is this. He received interruptions as part of God's plan. So that means if we want to handle better interruptions, we need to receive them as part of God's plan. Look at verses 35 to 38. Jesus received interruptions as part of God's plan. Look at verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, there's a quick lesson we can learn there outside the lessons we're learning today, and that is prayer and quiet time were very important to Jesus. In spite of the busyness of his life, in spite of the busyness of his ministry, he made time to pray. He made time to do his quiet time. So now let me ask you this question. How's your quiet time? How's your prayer time? How's your time alone with God? Or is our excuse, I am extremely busy to do any prayer time or quiet time? And then look at verse 36. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and once again, when they found him, they exclaimed or yelled at him, "Everyone is looking for you." But look at the response of Jesus in 38. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Now, I found that very interesting that Jesus did not argue, did not quarrel, or did not contend with the apostles. I mean, he did not say, "Can you not see I am in my prayer time? Can you not see that I am on my me time right now? Could you not see I am doing my quiet time? Could you not see that it's still dark and we don't ministry in the dark? Hello?" But no, he did not respond that way. Instead, he simply said, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. It's time to preach," is what he's saying. "It's time for us to go." Jesus responded calmly. Why? Because he realized even that interruption was just part of God's overall plan. Jesus saw it, that the reason that the apostles came to him, because it was Father's plan for me now to go preach, because that's why he came. But not only in this passage, in all of the gospel accounts, every time you will see the life of Jesus being disturbed, he did not lose his composure or his serenity. You will not see any interruption ever disturbing the serenity of Jesus. He received those interruptions as part of God's overall plan. Why? Because everything is part of God's plan. Everything is part of God's plan. Remember in stories that you may have read in the Gospels, religious leaders interrupted him. You know, Pharisees and Sadducees interrupted him. Even the demons interrupted him. Even Satan himself interrupted him. Various people, sick people, you know, people who are demon-possessed interrupted him. Even death interrupted Jesus, and yet he was never disturbed, never stressed out, never tensed up. Why? Because he saw everything, including interruption, as part of God's overall plan. In Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Only I can tell you what is going to happen even before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish." What is God saying here to us? God is saying here to us, nothing happens or will ever happen in our life without first passing through the sovereign hands of God. In other words, before we receive our interruption or any circumstance in our life, God have tested them already. It passed through his hands already. So that means if you are in a circumstance right now or in your life has been interrupted, that means you can handle it. Why? Because God saw it that you can handle it. Therefore, he made it part of his plan because he tested it already. He allowed it. He permitted it because he knows you can handle it. Just like a new parent. Isn't it a new parent before this parent would give this bottle of milk to the infant or to the baby? What would a good parent do? Would taste it and test it first, right? They will hold on to the bottle and they would do this. Or, right? Why? To make sure that the milk is not spoiled before they give it to the child, or to make sure that it's not too hot or too cold before they give it to the baby. Amen? Right? They would test it first. Same thing with God. Everything is part of God's plan. He either directly caused it or consciously allowed it. But before it gets to us, to our life, He tested and tried it first, make sure that He or we could handle it, including interruption. When we are so busy and our life gets interrupted by whatever circumstance it may be or people, God's plan has just happened in your life. Just like this busy man. There was this very busy man and he was able to master interruptions. He said before, every time people would come to his office and he's very busy, he would be so annoyed by it. He would be so bothered by it. And so now, he realized and he was convinced by God that everything is part of God's plan. That everything is part of God's overall plan. So now he began to receive them as God's plan. And he was convinced by God that God do send people our way because it's part of his plan. That people are not interruptions. God sends people our way. So instead of being annoyed, every time people will come to his office, and normally they would come planning to stay there for a while, he said. And people would say, I have 2 hours to kill, so I decided to come to your office and spend time with you, as if he had nothing else to do. What's interesting is, ever since he was convinced that everything is part of God's plan, now when people come to him, he would tell them, ah, I wonder what God's plan is for you being here. Well, let's find out. Let's have prayers. Now, he said, this does two things. He said, first, suddenly the interruption becomes very important. Why? Because now God is in it. But secondly, it shortened the visit of the person coming to him because most people don't like to have long prayers. But nevertheless, the point is the same. God allows us to have interruptions, or sometimes he causes us to have unexpected interruptions. Why? Because it's just part of God's overall plan or schedule for our life. And so now, this man who was frequently interrupted and yet was able to master it said this, so now I take interruptions as from the Lord. They now belong in my schedule. Second, look at verses 39 through 42. We must realize God sends interruptions for a purpose. So that means it's not part of God's plan, but God has a purpose for the interruption. And Jesus was very much aware of that. God sends interruptions for a purpose. Look at verse 39 through 42. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now let's look at that verse again. Let's look at that verse again. Because there's a secondary lesson we can learn from it. That when we pray, we must come to Him in humility and surrender. See, when we come to Him with humility and surrender, just like what the leper did, if you are willing, a prayer of humility, acknowledging that God, you are in charge of my life. That's when he is filled with compassion. Look at verse 41. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out to him and touched the man. So that means when we come to him with humility and surrender and saying, God, if you are willing, because when we pray, we don't pray to demand, we pray to ask. So right here, look at what Jesus did. After he was filled with compassion, he healed the leper. But Jesus saw that interruption as having a purpose. Why is that? What is the purpose of that interruption? miraculous healing. That was the purpose of the interruption. I mean, think about this. Jesus could have said, well, hello, Mr. Leper. I'm in the process of preaching and casting out demons right now. This is not time for healing. This is not Benny Hinn healing crusade right now. This is preaching time. So why are you interrupting me? And yet, Jesus saw that interruption as God having a purpose for it. What was the purpose? Miraculous healing. Why was the miraculous healing necessary? So his apostles would see it, and they would believe him as the true Son of God. Everything that we experience, including interruption, do have a purpose. So last week, I was at work. I was busy charting when suddenly a nurse came up to me, which is surprising because normally he would not talk to anyone. He was usually a quiet nurse. But I was behind at my work. I was charting, and that's when he decided to sit next to me and interrupted me. And yet I realized, I wonder what's the purpose. Well, the purpose was this. He was seeking for God. And I was able to tell him about God, and I was able to tell him about how to read the Bible. And so now I was work again once, and I was interrupted by one of our PRN PTs. What that means is we have those physical therapists that would come to help us out. They are not full-time employees. They're not part-time employees. They are what we call PRN, and that means we call them if necessary. So I was assigned in the ICU, and when you're in the ICU, it's a little complicated to see patients there. And so he was there too. I guess he was kind of intimidated by the severity of the sickness of the people. Can you imagine doing therapy on someone on ventilator? That's kind of intimidating. What do you do? How do you walk them when they are intubated? Things like that. So he was asking me questions, and at that point, I was behind in my charting. I was running behind with my work, but he was asking me questions. So he was obviously interrupting me, and so what was the purpose of that? Well, it turned out this PRN PT was actually God's answer to my prayers. Why? I wanted to be off on a Saturday of the spring break, which was yesterday. I was scheduled to work on that Saturday, and guess what? I wanted to be off. I needed a PRN PT, and guess who worked for me? That guy. So Friday, typically, is my sermon preparation day. We all know that. You all know that. I've shared that before. So that's when one of our cars started acting up. We were hearing this knocking noise at the back of it, and guess what? It needed attention, so I brought it to the shop. That interrupted my sermon preparation time, right? So I brought it there, and I was thinking, what's the purpose of this interruption? Now, I needed a ride back home to take me home. So now, the shuttle driver was there, and he took me home. What was the purpose? I was able to witness to him. I was able to share to him the gospel. His name was Jesus. Pray for him. So now, every interruption that comes our way do have a purpose. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. When we understand we're so busy and we are interrupted, that means God has a purpose for it. And when we understand it that way, then it will not produce any tension or stress in our life. Think about it yourself. How many times you are so busy and you're already stressed out, and that's when your car started acting up? Or that's when your car breaks down? Or that's when one of your children would be sick? Now, what's the purpose of that? Perhaps the reason God is keeping you at home, not letting you go, is perhaps if you decide to still go to your work or to your school, you might be in an accident. Everything has a purpose, especially when it comes to interruptions. And then thirdly, my favorite part, remember that schedules are God's to change at His pleasure. Remember that schedules are God's to change at His pleasure. Look at verses 43 through 45. Now here Jesus, again, was approached by the leper to be healed by him. Now, isn't it true that we are interrupted because our schedules are interrupted, right? The reason that we are interrupted is because we have schedules. If we don't have any schedule, we won't be interrupted, right? So that means interruptions are interruptions because it interrupted our schedule, right? You following me here? All right. So now that means the reason that we are interrupted is because we are not able to fulfill or to meet our schedule. But now look at verse 43. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. Now, why is that? Why would Jesus tell this leper, I healed you, but don't tell anyone? Instead, do what? Go to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for you for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Now, first, why did Jesus tell this man not to tell anyone else, and why send him to the priest and offer sacrifice? Well, first, because Jesus did not want people to just come to him for healing or for miracles, but instead for his message of salvation. So that's why he tells the man, don't tell anyone about it. But he sends him to the priest because that was Old Testament ritual or routine or a regular things that they do. In other words, it's part of what their law tells them. That before a leper can be ceremonially and officially cleaned, he must present himself to the priest and then offer the sacrifice. And then the priest would say, aha, you are clean. You can now go back and live in the city. Otherwise, he would stay outside the city gates. That was the purpose. But notice, what did he do? 45. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. So what did he do? He started telling people about Jesus and the healing that he received. And now look at the result of it. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Again, unpopulated places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Now think about that for a second. Quick Bible study here. Jesus was interrupted by this beggar. Now this leper started telling people about his healing. Now Jesus' schedule was interrupted because now he could not easily go to a city or to a town without people coming to him. But was he annoyed by it? Was he frustrated by it? No. He saw that as simply God changing my schedule. Simply God changed my schedule at his pleasure. So that means when we are super busy in life and something comes up and we are interrupted, if we remember that God simply changed my schedule at his pleasure, perhaps for something better, then we would not be as stressed out and tensed up because of the interruption. Are you following me here? So God has the right to change our schedule. Why? Look at Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. When we see that it is God who changed my schedule, then I would not be as tensed up or stressed out for not being able to complete the task. Now, how many of you have been on an airplane before? Many of us. Now, isn't it that before we get to the airplane, you are in charge of your schedule, right? You buy the airplane tickets at the departure time that you want to. That's convenient for you, right? Now, when you go to the airport, that was your time as to when to go to the airport. It is also at your convenience as whether it's time for you to go to the ticket booth or not. Now, when you are walking towards the gate, it is also according to your pace. Because everything is according to your schedule, according to your own routine, right? So now you are walking on the ramp, heading now to the plane, and even walking on the ramp, heading to the plane, you're still in charge of your schedule because you walk according to your pace. But once you get your feet off the ramp and onto the plane, suddenly, you are no longer in charge of your schedule. Now, who's in charge now? The plane crews are now in charge of your schedule, correct? And of course, you don't want to be saying, I want to be in charge of my schedule. So you decided you get 1 foot on the plane and 1 foot on the ramp. Now, that would not work. Because when the door closes on you, you would be crushed. Right? But once you're on the plane, you're no longer in charge of your schedule. Now, if the pilot decides, I want this flight to be delayed, well, there's nothing you can do about it. Why? Because it's no longer you in charge of your schedule. If the pilot decides, you know what, I'm going to take this plane somewhere else instead of your desired destination, what can you do about it? Nothing, because you're not in charge anymore of your schedule. Same thing with God. God is the overall person in charge of our schedule, of our routine. If he wants to change it at his pleasure, he can do it.
Oh, that's right.
But the lesson is this. But when we are interrupted, we can simply say, God has simply changed my itinerary for today, so therefore, God must have something better for me. If we saw it or see it that way, we're not going to be tensed up and stressed out. Why? Because we can say, God simply changed my schedule according to his pleasure. Now, I heard former President George Bush, through a pastor that I heard during a conference I attended, and he said that President George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States, gave a speech at the students there at SMU. And he opened his speech with a funny remark. And I thought it was funny. Might not be funny to you and after I said it, but it was funny to me. He said this, "Well, hello, students of SMU. If you are a student, you're doing a great job. If you are B students, well, you're still doing a good job. You're heading there. But if you are a C or a D student, don't worry. Hang in there. Who knows? You might become a president one day." Now, perhaps you see your life as that. Perhaps your life is filled with interruptions. So now your life is all stressed out. Listen, don't worry about it. Hang in there. If we simply see that everything is part of God's plan, that God has a purpose for it, that God is simply changing my schedule, that's why I have this interruption. Now think about that for a second. And when we see that it could possibly be that God has something better for me, that's a good outlook. Or as what Pastor Charles said in that conference, when we have a good outlook, then it would lead to a good outlook in life. I think when we're interrupted in life, we simply need to say, thank you, God, for the interruption, because you certainly do have a plan and a purpose for it. You just want me to have a better schedule. Let's pray.